In the name of Jesus, dear friends, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Text for our meditation today is our gospel from St. Luke's 10th chapter, familiar account of the parable of the Good Samaritan, which you've heard read. You may be seated. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? That is the question. When we seek to justify ourselves before God, we wonder what we need to do to be saved. And as a result, the scriptures appear to be very demanding and exacting to us. And yet somehow, strangely, in those very same demands, we find hope. We find, as it were, a prescription, or perhaps a roadmap for salvation. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? In the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," well, we're inclined to say, "All right then. There it is. That's the path of salvation. That's the way to justify ourselves before God. All we have to do is be perfect." No problem. But what does perfection even look like? Can we really even begin to fathom what it truly means to be perfect? When we look to justify ourselves before God, the scriptures appear to be very demanding and exacting to us. But even in those demands, we think they do provide us with that way of salvation. On the other hand, when we come to understand and believe that we are justified before God by faith, by grace, the scriptures are opened to us in such a way that they take our eyes off of ourselves in order that we might see Jesus instead. There's a rather famous quotation of Martin Luther about how he began to see the whole scripture differently when he came to know that the righteousness of God is not something he could earn, but that it's given freely in Christ Jesus. He said, "I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise. The whole of Scripture took on a new meaning. And whereas before, the justice of God had filled me with hate, now it became inexpressibly sweet in greater love." This passage, and he's referring to Romans 1, verse 17, where Paul says, "The righteous shall live by faith." This passage became to me, Luther says, a gate to heaven. We have before us here this morning Luke's account of a young lawyer who saw the scriptures as a means to justify himself before God. He comes to Jesus with that question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And knowing that this man wanted to justify himself, Jesus directed him to the commandments. He simply reminded him of the plan. "What is written in the law?" he said. "How do you read it?" And this young man must have just thought it was his absolute lucky day. You know, He was, after all, a teacher of that law. He was an expert in it. Jesus had asked him a question that was right up in his wheelhouse. Well, that's easy. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and also your neighbor as yourself." And no doubt those words rolled off of that man's tongue with ease, just as easily as they roll off mine just now. Evidently, he was pretty certain he'd fulfilled at least the first part, you know, to love God with his whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. It was the second part that he wasn't so sure about, apparently. And really only because he just wasn't even exactly sure who constituted his neighbor. Hard to be sure if you've loved your neighbor as yourself when you don't even know who he is. So Jesus told him a parable. Quite possibly one of the most familiar and beloved portions of all of Scripture. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And on the one hand, I think that the Good Samaritan is sort of the hero of everyone who seeks to justify themselves before God. He is the supreme example of what it means to be a good person. A model of holy and righteous living. Those characters in the parable whom you'd expect to exemplify those qualities, namely the priest and the Levite, they did nothing to help the man who'd been beaten and left for dead. But on the other hand, we meet this good Samaritan, a man who had been hated, despised, and rejected by the Jewish people. The very one you would not expect to have any care or concern at all for someone, let alone at least presumably a Jewish person. And we find that this Samaritan is the one who does what any good neighbor would do. Cares for the man. Binds up his wounds. Treated him with compassion. With our eyes opened wide by the Holy Spirit and with our hearts yearning for grace, we hear certain words and phrases and we see certain images in this parable that allow us to understand the Good Samaritan as much more than just an example for us, as much more than just a model for holy and righteous living. The Samaritan, we are told, was on a journey. Just a couple of weeks ago, we heard again in this gospel from Luke that Jesus is the one on a journey. He had set his face toward Jerusalem. Do you remember? And this was a journey that would end in Jesus giving up his life for the salvation of the world. The Samaritan saw that in the parable. The one who'd been beaten and left by the side of the road, Luke says that he had compassion on him. And this word, compassion, is a word that is used in the Scriptures, particularly in the New Testament and in the Gospels, almost exclusively to speak about God. There is one person in the Bible who has compassion like this. It's the very same word that Jesus uses in another parable that you all know so well, in the prodigal son, when he says, the father looked up while the son was still a long way off, and he saw him and he had compassion and ran to him. The Samaritan dressed this poor man's wounds with oil and wine. And while we aren't necessarily beaten and battered with physical blows, we are wounded and scarred by sin. And we suffer its effects each and every day in sickness, sorrow, pain, and eventual death. These wounds cut to the very core of our being. And Jesus, with bread and wine, binds up those wounds and heals us. Take and drink, he says. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Finally, we hear that the Samaritan took the stranger to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay it when I come back. The Samaritan took a heavy burden on himself, incurring debt to pay for this man's healing. And our Lord Jesus Christ has taken an even heavier burden on himself by taking your sin and your death on himself. A far greater debt he himself has incurred, paying it not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. He who was rich was made poor, so that you, by his poverty, might be made truly rich. Whatever debt you owe to God, Jesus has paid it all. While we so often see the Good Samaritan as the hero of self-righteous and works mongers, but he is ever so much more. You see, the Good Samaritan is not us. We are not even the priest and the Levite in the parable. Rather, we are the beaten man. And the Good Samaritan who comes to our aid is Christ, who found each of us beaten and battered by the side of the road, laboring under the awful load of sin and death. His journey took him to your side, and his compassion moved him to rescue you. As we heard in the epistle, in holy baptism, he has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. In holy communion and through holy absolution, which was spoken earlier, he continually binds up your wounds and makes you whole. And so, having been justified before God, not by our works, but solely by the merits of Jesus Christ, the Scriptures lift our eyes off of ourselves in order that we might see Jesus instead. And we no longer ask, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But instead turn to Jesus and say, Lord, what have you done that I might have eternal life? Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to sermons preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.